Welcome to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. This is the only podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered perspective of what it's really like to be a professional cheerleader. Whether you're currently on a pro team, an alumni, or really curious about what it takes to become a pro cheerleader, the Pro Cheerleading Podcast gives you all the inside scoop and hot topics in the pro cheerleading industry and in-depth interviews of current and former cheerleaders. I'm your host, Makiba. Join me every Wednesday as I reveal the truth behind the palms. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cheer Chat on a Thursday. I hope you guys are having a great week. Hopefully you know the reason why I'm going live. Sorry I'm all doing all the suggesting. It's Thursday. It's June 20th. And the show came out today, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, give me a second. As soon as I start, everything gets all discombobulated. I'm here to talk DCC, y'all. Who's watched it? Okay, let me tell you a little bit about myself and streaming and binging. I'm not good at binging, okay? It's too much. Too much coming at me at one time. So here's what I did. Let me just drink, okay? Here's my rosé. I hope you have something. I'm coming straight from an event, work, etc. So I'm going to take a long sip of rosé. And then we're going to get into the show. So here's the deal. I can't handle just binge watching. I watched 3 episodes today and I had to stop. I already have all these notes. You guys know I'm long-winded, chatty patty, but I wanted to kind of like digest the material, what I saw. I wanted to like think about it. Wooly wooly woo. Okay. Somebody says the show was phenomenal. So glad it took a new take on the team. Okay. I want all of y'all's reactions. Please just put it in the chat. Hit me up. I definitely want to know what you guys think. I'm going to be like a little bit all over the place because I'm just going to share my observations, my thoughts as I watch. So it's in order. I've only got up to episode 3, like I said. I will watch the rest of it maybe this weekend and maybe go live again this weekend. So here we go. Y'all ready? So for the most part, I didn't get a chance to put in the poll. What do you guys think? I'll do that after. But do you guys feel like this is different from making the team? I think I was expecting a little bit more of like, I don't feel like we're getting any different content just yet in episodes 1 through 3, but you know, the jury's still out, but it did seem like it was a little bit more in depth and personal and a little bit more raw, but I'm still, the jury's out on in terms of like it really being like something that we did not get with making the team. But here we go. Here's my observations in no particular order. Let me just say overall, I'm not a DCC like encyclopedia. Like I watched the show when it was on CMT. I kind of fell out of love with just, it was a little harsh. I don't think I enjoyed it as much. So I stopped watching it and then started watching it again. And then it went off and then they disappeared. Now we know what they were doing. So that's the caveat. I don't know all the backstories and all the girls. You guys can educate me. I was kind of like a 50-50 fan of the show, but from just a high level, I thought the Netflix special was good so far in terms of capturing like the real deal of what it's like through the auditions process. Not that I've been through the auditions process for DCC, but I thought it did a good job of capturing the reality of it all, the nerves of it all, the importance of it. I will say that I'm a little kind of thrown by what producers believe are like the people they should follow for these shows. Like I was a little, I'm just going to say it. It's no offense to the girls. You guys let me know what you think, but I don't like when they try to like narrow in on a couple people to follow in terms of their storyline. Like give me more about everybody and let me figure out who I want to like hear more about. I just feel like we're just like force fed certain people as kind of like the, not the main characters, but it just felt a little like, oh man, we're already kind of like telling the storyline of only a very few women, and maybe it'll be better for episodes 3 through 6 or 4 through 7, whatever it is. But I was expecting a little bit more of a variety of seeing more of the girls. I remember watching like Entertainment Tonight, like a promo video where they were talking about the show, and I was kind of like, wow, this is who they've picked to, you know, be spokespeople for the show. And it's just very, it's not diverse. I'll just say that, number one. Number two, I didn't find the storylines particularly compelling where I really was just like, I want to follow and hear this person's life story. I just, that sounds really negative, but I just was kind of like, show me more of the other people, because I just thought that they just quickly narrowed in on who had the most interesting storyline, and I'm just not that sold yet. Okay, you guys, this is just going to be the uncut version, but this is what I do. The Truth Behind the Palms, from my perspective, y'all can love it. I just was kind of like, show us more, and then let's narrow in and focus on people who you've laid the groundwork of who's super interesting and whose story we really want to root for. Like, I just felt like it was forced fed to us. Does that make sense? I think they took. Okay, finish your comment, and then, let me restart. I think they took it from a few different standpoints. They did, but, you know, when you have, like, 40-plus people, what were the numbers? You had 44 going into training camp. I just felt like they kind of only spoke from a very few people's perspective throughout the first three episodes that I've watched. So maybe they'll highlight some different people, but I just, and this is a production thing, I just think they kind of like decide who they want to feature as a storyline, and I was a little underwhelmed and wanted to hear from more people. That's all I'm saying. Okay, let's just get into it in no particular order. All right, let's just hit to the hot topics. Okay, I actually like wrote down quotes of some of the things that were stated. When they got in episode one into the discussion of pay, y'all know where I stand on this, or you should know, in terms of like them being paid more. It was just really interesting to hear Charlotte Jones say, okay, before I get into that, so we have a rookie / retired vet who loved it / returning point who doesn't love / hated Victoria. Oh, you hate Victoria. Okay. Somebody in the comments is a big fan of the storyline. Yeah, no, you don't have to shut up. Please don't. I love it. Keep talking to me. I get distracted, but everybody's used to me and my attention deficit because I'm trying to respond to comments, but I love the interaction. So please don't worry about it. I'm just trying to read it out loud for people, you know, the podcast version of this. But I'm going to get into Charlotte Jones' comment about pay, and I'm just going to give my two cents on it because it just rubs me the wrong way a little bit. She said there's a lot of criticism around pay for NFL cheerleaders, as it should be. So she acknowledged that this is a problem, this is an issue. Cheerleaders should be paid more. And she goes, but the fact is that cheerleaders don't come here for the money. They come for it basically for something bigger than themselves. And they get this sisterhood, and there's not a lot of opportunities in the field of dance at this elite level. They get relationships that last a lifetime. There's a chance to feel valued and that they're special and they're making a difference. So when women come here, they find their passion and their purpose. And this was when she was asked, like, about the pay for NFL cheerleaders, or for the DCC particularly. So this is after they set the tone of saying like how Kelly decided to take DCC from a, you know, from a cost center essentially to a profit center for the company or for the team, and basically, you know, they were their own separate financial entity, separate from the Dallas Cowboys team. And so to hear Charlotte Jones say like, you know, there should be cynicism around what they're paid. And they're not paid a lot. Like she literally said, they're not paid a lot. And so I'm thinking, okay, like all of the things that she mentioned are absolutely aspects of why we do what we do. The friendships, the bonds, the chance to be part of something bigger than yourself, the lifelong dream, the training, all of the things. But like, I just don't think that applies to like, to Kelly or Judy's pay or for freaking Charlotte's salary. Like you're there for, you know, the passion of what you're doing. You're there for the team and the relationships and all of those things, but that doesn't reflect what's in your paycheck. And I don't know all the ins and outs of whether the women that participate in these shows, whether it's CMT or this Netflix special, if they are compensated. I haven't seen any article that kind of confirmed that for me, that they actually are paid for their time and their appearance on these shows. But like, somebody's getting paid. We've already established that the DCC is a it's an international mega brand and that brings in lots and lots and lots and lots of money. So I really struggle. I freaking struggle with this. When you're asked the pointed question of like, why aren't they paid more? Or what is the issue with their pay? And you just completely ski skirt the question and you're just focusing on all these intangible non-monetary benefits that the women get and claim that that's not why they're there. Okay, I mean, I just feel like this conversation is just so played out, but I feel like I just have to say it one more time. It's just like, you can have both, right? Like, you can say that they're there for all of these amazing benefits, that it's something very selfless and that they just want to be a part of the sisterhood and all of that. That's so accurate, but like, let's quit playing a game about the money. I'm not feeling it, especially as you see the organization pick up these, you know, TV and streaming deals. And I just think the money that they're going to make from us watching this show and continuing to elevate this brand and talk about it till the cows come home should absolutely be reflected in these women's pay and compensation. It's just inexcusable to me and it bugs the shit out of me. I can't handle it. I can't handle it, you guys. It just is a slap in the face because I don't think Charlotte Jones, I don't think Kelly or Judy would sit there and say, I'm going to take, I don't know, some minuscule amount of money because I'm here for something bigger than myself. I'm here for these women who I'm coaching. I'm here for the team. I'm here for the fans. Like, and I don't need to be paid. Nobody's going to say that. That's bullshit. And so I don't agree with these women not being compensated for being a participant in these shows, for obviously what they do during the season. I'm going to say it again. That's just how I feel. It just hurt to kind of hear Charlotte Jones as a woman acknowledge that it's not enough pay, that there's rightful scrutiny over what they're paid, but basically just list a bunch of stuff. And this is like the narrative that keeps getting spent over and over and over again about like, they're not here for that. I mean, they don't have to have that be the driving purpose of why they're here, but that's besides the point. Like, you could still compensate them because they are there performing a service, performing at that elite level, and it just doesn't add up in terms of an explanation as to why they're not paid. It bothers me, you guys. Okay. The Jones family is greedy, point blank, period. Let's just keep it real, y'all. It's a safe space. We're just saying it like it is. Okay. I think they are showing different cheerleaders who have experienced the org differently. I love Victoria. It's interesting to see the love hate for DCC while Caroline loved her 5 years. The NFL is greedy, not just the Jones family. Everybody's greedy. We all want money. I just think it's kind of like, don't make it seem like these women can't enjoy the passion for what they're doing and also want to get compensated for it. Like when homegirl Kat was like struggling to say, when she was asked pointedly, what were you paid as a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader? And she's trying, you could tell she's like struggling, trying to find like the diplomatic answer. And she's retired, so she probably can say what she wants to say, but still was very careful. And she literally ended up landing on getting paid what a Chick-fil-A employee's compensation would be if they work full time. That is sad, y'all. Love me some Chick-fil-A, but that is sad to really have it amount to. Like, that's not enough. That's just I don't know where it'll be disclosed. I haven't had a chance to do the research of like what the DCC organization is bringing in with this streaming deal, what it was worth, who's getting what. But I just know that the executive salary is going to reflect, hey, you signed a mega deal with a streaming company for putting on the same product that is, there's nothing without the women in this show, right? And I just can't hear Charlotte, Kelly, Judy justifying their salary being minimized to a Chick-fil-A employee because of the love of what they're doing and the sisterhood and the bonds and the coaching and the, it's just not, that doesn't translate to paying bills. That doesn't translate to supporting yourself. That does not translate to, you know, surgeries that I keep hearing these. Okay, that's later. I'm going to just stick in order because otherwise I'm going to lose my place in my notes. But let's just say that there are injuries that these poor women experience from them jump splits and the whole nine yards after they stop. And I just, you know, medical bills, your cost of living, all of these things, and to not compensate these women accordingly is just so problematic to me. I'm going to get off my soapbox. I just feel like I've said it so many times, but to hear it justified in that way was just kind of like, come on, come on now, Charlotte. Come on, Charlotte. Stop. Stop. Let's just change the narrative on that and pay them. They're not here for the money, but we give it to them because they earn it. And we give it to them because they actually help us be a multi-million dollar brand. How about that? It's not that hard. Share the wealth. Okay, let's see the comments. The NFL in general doesn't pay the cheerleaders, as of course the show isn't going to pay them. Oh, so of course the show isn't going to pay them. Thank you for that comment. But that's kind of like really tricky. I mean, of course these women are auditioning and you're signing your life away on these release forms and whatever. But I just, like, I could, there's no justification. But even if they were like, okay, we're not paying you for what you do on the field, even though we think it's at this elite level and you're the best of the best in the entire world, we're not going to pay you for that. But when it comes to getting these TV rights and these streaming deals, you know, you're kind of like a big part of this show. So maybe we're going to figure out a way for you to be compensated. Maybe they are, and it's just not disclosed. But I would think that at least in that realm, that they would give them some compensation. Like, I just, that's just how I feel about that. I mean, to me, they're unrelated in a way. Like, what you do on the field, if you want to pay them like a seasonal part-time worker, Chick-fil-A person, okay. But like when it comes to this type of deal that they've struck with Netflix, and you know, it just, come on, man, spread the money around. I'm gonna make sure I didn't miss any other comments. You're 100% right. I was disappointed to hear her say that as a woman professional. You're right. Like, and she said it with such conviction, like, and the end, like, that's the end of the conversation. And like, obviously the people who are interviewing back, you know, behind the scenes aren't like pressing the hard question. Like, why can't you pay them and they still get those side benefits? Like, why is the conversation in there? And it was like a long ass pause after she said it, where it was kind of like, and that's all there is to say about it. And I just do not agree. I just really, really, really struggle with that, because it's a horrible message to send. Nobody's like, who, any other job, you keep saying like, this is a job, this is a job, this is a job. Nobody shows up to a job for these intangible benefits that they don't get paid for. Like, that don't, like, that's just not why you show up to work for anything every day, is to just make friends and support the brand and like all these things that are, they sound great for the homies, but like, you need to get paid. You shouldn't have to struggle in that way when there's clearly enough in terms of revenue to actually increase your cost of payroll. Like, I'm not buying it for 2 seconds. And if Kelly or Judy or Charlotte want to take a major pay cut to a Chick-fil-A status just because of all these other intangible benefits that they get from it, then we can talk. But it's just bullshit. And it's so hypocritical. I can't handle it. There's a lot of comments, so I'm going to shut up and read. Okay, they should at least get a stipend. Something. Be creative. Figure it out. Maybe they get something, y'all. I don't know. I have not seen it anywhere. All the articles over the past 6 years, I haven't seen it. But they should get something. But they are probably under a contract right now, since the show just came out. Sorry, it's hard to read over my shirt. They aren't allowed to speak. They probably signed an NDA. Yes, they probably signed an NDA. Maybe the NDA required non-disclosure of their compensation to the extent they were compensated. I just hope that's the case. I hope that they are paid and they're just not able to talk about it. That's the best case scenario. And then again, that's just for this, you know, Netflix special or for CMT. But again, around their pay as an NFL cheerleader, as a part of the Dallas Cowboys organization, that pay for her to basically, you know, try to rationalize why they're not paying them more, it just doesn't hold weight for me at all. I'm curious to know if they do have health benefits, as they used to have a dentist. I'm sorry, I'm like beating my mic up. Used to have a dentist and always have been, being checked out by the Cowboys medical staff and given medical advice by organizational medical staff. But yes, they are extremely beneficial to the organization and deserve a living wage. Yeah. So I think in terms of like them having athletic trainers, being able to be seen by the team's medical staff throughout the season is great. I was concerned, and let me just flip to the stat, because somebody in the series said that there were 12 orthopedic surgeries in the past 6 years. She was like, and there's that, right? So this is from the jump splits. People tearing their hips. It takes like 3 to 6 months recovery from surgery. And this is from dancing Thunderstruck and hitting that jump split that everybody loves. Nobody wants to get rid of. But to think of like 12 surgeries for girls in the past 6 years, that's a lot. I think that's really high. And of course, you know, you had the one girl, what's her name, y'all? Caroline, basically waiting out the season so that she could have that surgery. So you're no longer part of the team. You're no longer an employee. So arguably those costs in terms of your medical expenses are you're covering yourself, unless the team extends that courtesy. Like, hey, after you retire, if you need to replace a hip or something, or have orthopedic surgery, I don't really know all what all that means, we'll cover that for you. I don't think that's probably how it works. I mean, they have other jobs, so maybe they have medical benefits through their other jobs. But, you know, when it comes to, like, again, cost of living, people moving their lives to be in Dallas to cheer for the team, and I don't know, really struggling, not necessarily struggling, but it is a balance, and it is kind of a struggle, I'm sorry, to handle that level of commitment and have time to practice and be perfect. And you know, there's just a lot involved in that. And I, again, the compensation should be more than what it is, and they have the means, and so shut it down. Like, this particular organization should absolutely not be the one that is crying like, oh, they're not here for the money, so that's why we don't pay them. That's bullshit. I just love them, but it's just something that doesn't land well with me at all, period. And it was like one of the most glaring things from season one, episode one. What else did I notice here? I just, you know, these are random thoughts, but I did appreciate, you know, with this whole online auditions process that we are all in at this point, not me, y'all, but, you know, that it's Kelly and Judy watching all the videos and they're critiquing, and it seems like they are, you know, really trying to give each candidate the right level of attention as they're making their decision of who to invite in person. The one thing that confuses me that I'll just put out there, if you guys know the answer, let me know, but it always confuses me when it gets to training camp and they are talking about like the kicks and the flexibility of some of the girls. So like the first two cuts from training camp were two African-American women. I was very disappointed by that as well. That seemed to have, you know, great qualities and obviously we're talented enough to get there, but it's kind of like, what is it that you are asking for in the online submissions that does not address whether people have the flexibility or the kicks that you need, since training camp is such a condensed period of time and you know, they're very keen on saying like, it's not enough time for you to basically become flexible and, you know, get the right splits and get the right kick. So part of me is just like, teach that goddamn kick line as part of auditions. Tell people to record it from a certain angle so you can see the height of their kicks if you need to, and try to weed that out. It just seems like I don't want to say a cop out, but like, is that something that you could kind of discern in the online audition process, whether somebody has the right flexibility to sustain the kick line? And because that's a whack time to hear that feedback. When they come in person, they're doing the solos, right? So you're not evaluating it at that point, but it's a little late to like have somebody come perform the solo, do an amazing job, and then they come into training camp and it's like, your kicks aren't high enough, they won't make this team, and you have 3 weeks or 4 weeks, or I know they had a condensed timeline this time because it was like they started 2 weeks later and then their game was earlier, and so they didn't have a lot of time to give people a chance to improve. But I just, that's my concern or question. It's just like, can't y'all figure out if people can kick high enough and have their splits down enough so that you could eliminate having to cut people for that reason at training camp? It just seems a little late in the game. That was one observation. But I like that they're able, I like that they, as part of their evaluation during auditions, that they really do have them on the turf. It's not like when you see the solos, and you guys tell me what you guys think about the solos. Solos are beautiful. They're amazing. They're great to be able to see their technique and their dance style. But that is not what's the product on the field on game day. You're not doing lyrical, contemporary. That's not what's happening on a football field. And so part of me is just like, I wish that they almost would reverse the order and do the the field cut first. And then if you have passed that, whether it's the flexibility in your kicks, your showmanship, the way you appear on camera, you know, do you light up, do you take up space, all of the things that they're looking for on the big screen when they're actually on the field, make the cut then. And then, like, make the cut after solos of people who are invited to then showcase their style. Like, to me, it's like DCC style first, and then let me see what else you can do. And it's, again, establishing whether they have the flexibility that you need for the team. It just seems like a more logical order to me. I don't know what you guys think, but that's just my two cents. Nobody cares about this from the DCC organization. These are just my thoughts, y'all. But I want to know what you think as well. I'm going to sip. Talk to me if you guys have any little observations yourself on those points. Okay, the next point I want to make was just when they were discussing and deliberating the judges. Somebody made a comment that he noticed that there was more weight in a candidate's face. And then, I don't know if it was Charlotte, somebody in the background goes, yeah, that's heartbreaking. And I just was like, okay, this is not funny. I'm laughing sarcastically. But at some point in the episode, or somebody said something, or no, it might have been a promo trailer, but they were like, we stopped weighing the girls, and that, no, it was an interview in Entertainment Tonight, and Kelly was just, not Kelly, Judy was saying, no, it was Kelly, sorry, was saying how they stopped weighing girls, and a lot of their, the things that they did during the CMT series wouldn't really, like, cut it today, and they've kind of changed certain practices, and so they, she was like, we don't weigh the girls anymore, they've kind of moved away from that, and have evolved as society has evolved, right? And to hear this judge say that it looked like one of the candidates, and this was a veteran, had gained weight in her face, and she was cut. She was cut. I just thought, like, okay, you might have stopped weighing people, but let's not pretend that weight still is not a factor in the way that they are judged. And gaining weight in your face, I mean, god dang, like, is it what it used to be? If you're gaining weight in your midsection, or like your legs or your butt, I mean, I've never heard about it being all up in your face and then it's a problem. Not to say that was the only reason that girl got cut, but I'm so sorry to interrupt, but you look beautiful, Ray. Thank you. I had to get dressed up for this event and I should have taken it off because I'm just like, but thank you, love. You know, it's summer, trying to get some color up in here. Thank you, you're so sweet. Okay, now I got a drink because now I'm okay. But the observation I wanted to make here was just gaining weight in your face, for real. Like, I don't know if people were doing fillers and playing around with different things, but beware, okay? Because if you're doing stuff to your face and it appears that your face is fuller, that I guess that could be something that could be noticeable. Because do people really gain weight in their face and not other places in their body? Does that happen? I don't know. It just seemed odd to me. But what do you guys think? I don't know. I felt really bad. Those cuts were, for the vets, was a moment. And I don't know about you guys, but, like, this was a very, they really gave space for the, to show the veterans being upset about the cuts. Like, we know what it's like. Ray, when I was interviewing you, we were talking about, like, how difficult it is for veterans to see their teammates getting cut, and those are real raw emotions. Like, you're so happy that you made it, number one. You're happy that other people that are part of your team have made it, but then you're devastated when you realize what vets are not standing beside you. Brittany and I were ripped apart after our rookie year together that way. I was cut, and then when I made it back, she was cut. So it's such a, those emotions are real and triggering. Like, watching them, I was, like, damn near tearing up because it was so real. And they did hear from somebody. I don't know if they were off screen, off camera, but they were kind of saying that veterans need to kind of step up and be veterans for the people who are, you know, rookie candidates that are looking up to them in this moment. This is the happiest moment of their lives, and I know that you're going through it, but basically kind of suck it up. Not in these words, but, you know, you need to show them what the sisterhood is about, and even though you're hurting, welcome them to the team. And, you know, I've heard that before. Just the kind of, like, just shove those emotions somewhere else for right now. You have to be present and be there for your team, even if you are feeling conflicted about it. But I did appreciate that they included just, I think it was Kelsey speaking to the team and saying, like, we're really happy for you. Welcome to the team. But obviously, this is also a very hard time for us, too. And I just thought that that was probably, like, the most raw moment in the series so far for me, where it was just kind of like, let them have... It is a sisterhood. This is an illustration of what that sisterhood means. Like, it really cuts like a knife when your teammates don't make it back. It sucks so much, and it's a real emotion. And I get the need to kind of like tuck it and be there for the people who are like having the best time of their lives in this moment. But it was just really raw and real. Let's see. That usually happens when girls get pregnant, but I'm pretty sure none of them were pregnant. Oh, ha! Sorry. Yes, when you're pregnant, you do get fat in the face. That's so mean. You do get a little fuller in the face. And even if you get older, you get fuller in the face. But yeah, none of them probably were pregnant. I only brought up fillers because I know people are experimenting with different beauty hacks these days. And I just would be leery of doing things that would kind of make your face seem fuller in this little cheeky region. You know what I'm saying? I don't do that stuff, so I don't know. And I'm probably saying it wrong, but because you're not going to gain it in your forehead, and you're not, I mean, it's going to be up in here. And so if people are thinking of fillers, and all I'm just saying, think about it, how it could be perceived as something stupid as you gain weight in your face and then you get cut. Okay. Let's see. What is, oh my God, so real. We talked about this. It's such a weird feeling to be like so happy and also so sad at the same time. Yes. The one other thing that I did appreciate from the show was just Charlotte coming in and telling the judges, like, hey, like, we need to make some decisions here around the veterans, because we don't want Judy and Kelly to have them brought into training camp and then cut them. Like, if they aren't meeting your expectations, or, you know, if they're just getting outdanced by rookies because they're just happen to be more fabulous, it's not that the vets aren't fabulous, but they just happen to be more fabulous, then let's just cut them now and not invite them to training camp, which felt really like cutthroat. But at the same time, I was like, you know what, out of respect, like, if you aren't meeting the level of competition year to year as a veteran, then it's probably better to make that decision now versus later, because you're only holding on to them because you're wanting to, because they're a veteran. But if they don't cut it, then it's just kind of like, don't drag them on. But I don't know, because if you're on the receiving end, it's effed up whichever way you put it. But they made a good comment. Somebody said something like, the vets are as good as they are going to be. Like, the rookie candidates can have room to kind of like perhaps show you something different night after night, because you don't know them as a dancer. You don't know what they're capable of in terms of rising to the occasion. And so if they're already at this level where they've caught your eye, there is still room for them to grow. But the veterans, what you've seen from them is probably what you're going to get. They're not going to get better, is more or less the commentary from the show. And I actually thought, you know what? You're right. It's not like a veteran, if they're going to make any sort of like miraculous improvement, it's going to be in the off season, where a veteran would be able to come in much better than maybe they performed during the year, because they actually knew what they wanted to focus on in the off season. They did X, Y, and Z, and they come back looking snatched and whatever, whatever, or they come back more power, like whatever. That can happen during that off period, but not so much at the point where you're bringing them into training camp. I kind of agreed with that statement, and it's so hard because it sounds so like cutthroat, but the veterans are what they are, I think, at this point. And it's like, it made sense to me. It was hard to hear that, but it made sense to me. Let's see. What else did I want to say? Okay, so the last thing, and this also, right, I feel like our episode is just coming up all over again. I kind of wanted to point out something that I thought was a little interesting and concerning, where I loved Kat. Like, she should just be back on the team as far as I'm concerned. She was amazing to watch, funny, hilarious, like such a personality. And so many DCC personalities are gone, y'all. Like, it hit me like how many people have retired, and just like, it's just really, 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 really noticeable. But it was interesting to hear Kat talk about like not really having a game plan after retirement, and even hearing Caroline talk about, like, she's healing from different surgeries, but, you know, like, you go from go, 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 go while you're on the team to kind of like a screeching halt. And you're also trying to leverage the fact that you were a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader and probably, you know, Kat sounded like she might have been doing like an application for like maybe a reality TV show or something, because she was having to answer all these questions about her background or mental health, all kinds of things, right? Her physical fitness, had you had any surgeries? And they were joking about like, oh my gosh, you know, the stuff that they go through from being a DCC. But she made a point that kind of like she did not have things lined up, and she was kind of like, I can't peak at DCC, like I need to keep this going and keep growing and doing things. And I just thought, especially for the most popular Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders that were also part of the like the CMT series, like you would think that they would have had like so many things lined up for themselves after doing the show, but it just shows the importance of thinking through, you know, how to fill up that space and what your goals are after after DCC or after whatever team you're on, y'all. Like, I think it's important to set goals of what you want to achieve as a creative outlet, like what it would be that would set you on fire, and to kind of continue to live your passion after you stop cheering. Like, I just felt sad in my heart. Like, not that she won't figure it out and find it, right? She's amazing and it will come together. But I was just kind of like, dang, like, even people who have the biggest platform ever, who have a million followers or whatever on, I'm just exaggerating, but like DCC is probably the most visibility that you can get as an NFL cheerleader. And to hear that there weren't things lined up, or that she didn't know exactly what she was going to be doing after retirement, you know, it just kind of shows that you kind of have to have a game plan, and or, you know, be in the mental space that you're going to have to like hit the ground hella hard to try to leverage what you've done in your amazing NFL career so that you have those opportunities. Because it's not that it's, you want to strike while the iron's hot. You want to kind of like have your eyes set on what it is that you want to achieve next based on your background as an NFL cheerleader. And I was just surprised, because DCC is like, again, the biggest platform ever that you could have as an NFL cheerleader. So to think of it not really being like something that, you know, was mapped out for them, or maybe they had certain restrictions where they couldn't do certain things. But I just wish everybody well after retirement, and I know that it can be a real big thud, and especially if you're recovering from surgeries like the Caroline chick, you know, it's just, it's a lot that comes to a screeching halt. So I'm hopeful for these women to find their way. Obviously this was shot, I don't know, a whole year ago, right? But I'm sure Kat is doing amazing things, and hopefully Caroline's recovered. I don't know, what did you guys think of like the people that they did focus on? I know I started things off kind of like coming in hot, saying that I wasn't really phased or moved by the stories that we're following. So we're following Reese, we're following Kelsey, Caroline, Caroline's sister, Kelly. Who else, y'all? Victoria. Victoria, I wasn't familiar with her. She's definitely hilarious, and I think she's kind of as real as it can probably get in terms of like the love hate that somebody in the comments was talking about, that it was kind of, you could tell that, you know, there are just some pluses and minuses. And it sounds like she knew Kelly from as a child, because her mom and her were best friends. She's a legacy cheerleader. And, you know, I was scared they were going to cut her from the way that they were like teeing it up. I thought she was one of the vets that were going to get cut. But I was happy to see that she was still in the running. I just want to say to Netflix, thank you for deciding who we should focus on, but I'm going to need a little bit more of a broader spectrum of the women on the team. Please. I just was kind of like, who else are you going to talk to? Like, who else are you going to feature? I was dying to know more about even the veterans on the team, because they weren't followed, you know, for a while, because of the drop off with the CMT program. So, you know, I know they love capturing the rookie candidates and their journey and all of that, but I wasn't, you know, like any dating show, you want to kind of see the whole variety of people who are there, and you want to figure out who you like and who you're rooting for. And I just felt like they kind of already decided who they wanted to feature, and it wasn't enough of a intro. But I'd love to know who you guys are pulling for. Obviously this is like a season behind, right? This is for the 2023 squad. But I'm very excited to watch the rest of the episodes. I can't take too many at once. I'll probably watch two more. How many are left? Four more? Three? Yeah, there are four more. How about I watch two more, check in with you guys, talk about them, watch the rest of them, check in with you guys, talk about them. I'm glad it's back on the air. It seems to be with a lot more dignity for the participants. But at the same time, you know, certain topics that I've already discussed were just a little disheartening to hear about. And I know, I think it's really the saddest part is just that because of whether it's a contract that you signed or just not wanting to be ostracized from your sisterhood because you're putting your organization on blast, like, I just don't feel like any of these women are going to stand up and say, like, you guys are making millions off my ass. Like, I want to get paid. Like I'm entitled to just something that will help make this a lot easier for me to be able to be my best because I'm don't have this pressure of I can do this full time and not have this be this part-time job. Like, I think it hurts that it's still not the freedom to say how they probably really feel about it. And seeing Kat struggle her behind off trying to describe what her pay is like without saying it outright was just, you know, you could just tell that it's still hands tied. But that's why Makiba's here, to say things that maybe other people were thinking, maybe not. It's just my personal opinion, but they're going to make a lot from this show. There's going to be a lot of exposure from this show, probably way more than what Cheer was for Netflix. And to think of people not getting their rightful dues from it makes me mad. But I'm excited to watch, even though I'm contributing to the problem. Definitely want to hear what you guys think. Don't spoil anything for me for the rest of the episodes. I will be watching, and I'll go live and talk about it real time. So I'm not waiting till Wednesday. So this is Cheer Chat on a Thursday. I'll Cheer Chat again as soon as I catch up on a couple episodes. What else is going on? I hope everything's going well. We got NBA auditions. Congratulations to the Boston Celtics dancers. I'm going to Boston, y'all. That's my next trip on my list. The summer is coming in hot. I'm going to be going to the NFL Cheerleaders Alumni Association in Boston in the middle of July. First time in Boston. Congratulations, though. I mean, I'm not a Boston sports fan, but, you know, I'm going to let you have it. If anybody is a Boston fan, I'm not trying to hate, but I'm excited to visit the city for the first time, and really exciting to see them finally get another championship under their belt. And now it's just audition season, but this summer is going to be pretty busy. Boston, immediately going to Vegas to catch the tail end of pro action. And then right after that, going to Arizona for Choreography Pros Dance Convention. But y'all, I'm going to put some polls up in my, in my story to get some thoughts that you guys have on the DCC series so far. Because I want to know what you guys think. Shared my thoughts, but I dang sure want to know yours. You guys are probably way more into like the DCC history of the show than I have been. I mean, I came in and out. But want to hear your thoughts. Thanks for joining me and listening to my little mini rants there. But I will see you guys in a couple days, probably tomorrow. Honestly, this is so much more entertaining than work. I watched it a little bit during the day, and I kind of want to like lightweight put some time on my calendar tomorrow and watch the rest, watch a couple more episodes. So maybe I'll be going live during the day. That'll be fun because the sun won't be shining and baking my room at this point. So the only thing is I won't be able to drink rosé. So maybe it'll be in the evening. I will talk to you guys later. I'm rambling at this point. Thanks for listening. Thanks for chatting with me about it. You guys have great comments, and I look forward to watching the rest of the show. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. You can follow your favorite podcast on social media at Pro Cheerleading Podcast on Instagram, at Pro Cheer Podcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook, on YouTube, and you can support your favorite podcast on Patreon. Until next time, keep your eyes on the sidelines.